Greetings and welcome to another edition of the FPL Dilemma for an Addict, the official podcast of the Facebook Football Addicts community. My name is William, and there's no one else. So, still by myself doing the podcast. So, yep, there's been a bit of a hiatus in me delivering this podcast for a number of reasons. The primary reason being that for a couple of weeks I have been looking in vain for a regular co-host. I would like to have a regular co-host on the show, someone who has access to Skype. I've tried to look into some recording devices that can record phone calls, but that's also been in vain. So if you are, and this is an open invitation, I've tried to make contact with a few people in the Football Addicts community in terms of co-hosting the show with me, like a color comp type commentator thing, and I haven't had much luck. I've had a few people say, yeah, they'll help, but I mean, I'm really looking for someone who is regularly invested in the Fantasy Premier League product, and they would like to be on the show every week. I don't have any personal friends that are as invested as I am into the game. I have friends that are interested in football in general, but they sort of don't have much of an interest in FPL, which I don't really understand. So, yeah, it's an open invitation to people that would like to go host the program with me. I'm going to probably drop some lines elsewhere on some other communities and see if I can get other people interested. If you are interested in being on a segment, I'm really going to try and make an effort to record the programs Tuesday and Wednesday night. Tuesday's Wednesday night is the best time for me. If you're interested, just drop me a line on the weekend and let me know if you want to do it. I'll probably do it around between 8 and 8:30, Tuesdays and Wednesday nights. I really want to get other people on here because it is quite strange me talking into a phone by myself. I mean, you don't listen to podcasts on the internet where people are just talking by themselves. It's a little strange, and I'd like to get someone on here who I can bounce ideas off. I think that would serve the purpose of this podcast a lot better than me just doing it independently. All right. So yeah, so that's the main reason why I haven't recorded a program for a while. If I don't find people to do the program with, I probably will start doing it regularly again. It doesn't mean, because I'm so into it, it's not much of an effort to do these things. It's getting pretty easy now. Like, I only did one show with the structure, and I found it pretty simple. Alright, so let's just get straight into it. So the first segment, part one, we've got, he's just scored a sick round and scored a shed load of points. Should you bring him in or not? Alright, so let's look at the guys that scored big points over the coming game week. Actually, before we do that, I'll talk about my progress so far in the first 5 game weeks of the new FPL season. So, I'm ranked in the top, just inside the top 300,000. Not great, not terrible either. If the season was like a normal kind of context of a season, I'd probably say game week 5 inside the top 3,000 is not too bad. It's a pretty stable rank. It's pretty easy to move up there to get green arrows. But saying that, because the season has been so weird and the regular big hitters just aren't doing it, in the top 300,000 is probably not that bad. It's probably pretty good. I think anybody that's done really well doesn't have Sanchez or Aguero. I think that's probably the main difference. So there are some really experienced FPL managers doing really poorly because they are investing all, like, a lot of their money in those two big players, as well as other proven big hitters like David Silva. So, I mean, I have Silva, Aguero, and Sanchez, so that takes up a lot of my budget. And the fact that I have those three players, and I'm just inside the top 300,000, I'm not doing too bad. I'm sitting pretty good. There are some really experienced fantasy managers that are, like, kicking themselves around in the millions, even in the, like, around the 2 million ranking. That there's a manager that I follow. I think his His online name's Trigger Lips, and he's very experienced. He's finished in the top 1,000 every, like, pretty well every year for like a million years, and he's languishing in the 2 millions. I'm pretty sure he's at least outside the top million. He could even be outside the top 2 million. So if you're doing really bad, and you usually do pretty good, don't stress too much. I mean, Sanchez and Aguero will start doing well soon. Okay, so that's how I'm doing. So that's not too bad, but I'm not too happy. I wildcarded in game week 3, I think, and I did pretty well that game week, but I've had red arrows since then. So hopefully this game week, I've got, my whole team's got pretty good fixtures, apart from I've got Sanchez and Pedro, and they both play each other, so they're not exactly easy fixtures. I mean, Arsenal and Chelsea aren't exactly easy fixtures, but I think, fingers crossed, there'll be some goals in that game if both those players are involved. Okay, so let's look at the goalkeepers. All right, first up, we've got three keepers that scored 9 points. Geraldo Gomez from Watford. He's definitely a good pick. Watford are looking, defensively, they're looking really, really good. Let's just bring up their stats and I'll have a quick look. So there's Gomez, Boaz Myhill from West Brom, and I think it's Randolph from West Ham. Darren Randolph, he's a no. Primarily because Adrian, he was suspended, so he'll be due back soon, so Randolph won't keep his spot. Geraldo Gomez and Myhill, if you have nothing to do, you're on a wild card, or you've got two free transfers and you want to downgrade, say, if you're still holding Courtois for some reason, or you want to downgrade, then yep, I would definitely consider either of those two. West Brom have pretty good fixtures coming up, and they're a Tony Pulis team, and they've almost enveloped that concept really now. Like, they are a pure Tony Pulis team. So yep, I would consider bringing him in. Ben Foster's due back soon, but I wouldn't worry about that. Definitely, yeah, I'd consider Myhill. I can't consider him because I've got Butland and McCarthy there, and it just doesn't make sense for me at the moment. All right, the other one's Geraldo Gomez from Watford. So it's looking like the Watford defence is, well, it's pretty well, them and City are the only teams that are really keeping, like, they're the only ones keeping clean sheets, and statistically they're going pretty well. They're not conceding that many shots inside the box. They're not conceding that many clear-cut chances either. So they're in, like, the top five, you know, defensive teams in the league. So definitely, yep, I'll consider him and consider one of them. And Gomez could be your boy. So yeah, I consider him. So he's a yes for me, and so is Myhill. He's a yes as well. What are Watford's fixtures like? I think they're pretty good. They're not, if they're disgusting, I know about it. Yeah, they're not too bad. Newcastle away, they might concede there. Crystal Palace at home could concede. Bournemouth away, they're not too bad. Like, they're not terrible, but they're not good, too good either. So yeah, I'll consider bringing him in. I think, I'm not sure if they still rotate with Bournemouth. They did at the start of the season. I think they probably do now. That looks pretty good. They've got bad fixtures in Game Week 9, so not really. Anyway, yeah, so Gomez and Myhill are two guys to look at. Okay, so let's move on to defenders. So let's look at one defender scored 10, five others scored 9. So I'll focus on them. All right, first one's Richie DeLaet. Don't get him in. He's not going to score every week, and Leicester don't keep clean sheets. So there's him. Bellerin, would I consider getting him in? So 5.5. He looks nailed on. Debuchy looks, he doesn't look be getting into the team. Investing in Arsenal defence, I'm not sure. Let's have a look. Yeah, why not? Defensively, they're good. Statistically, they're a good team. Them and City statistically are the two best teams. What are their fixtures like? Oh, horrible. Chelsea away, Leicester away, Man U at home. So maybe not quite yet. Of all those games, I don't reckon they're going to keep clean sheets there. So yeah, so probably no for Bellerin. I think it's a Damien Cook from, no, Steve Cook, sorry, from Bournemouth. 4.4, he scored 9. How did he score 9 points? Did he just get maximum bonus? Yes. No, you got two bonus points. Oh, he scored a goal. There you go. So, yeah, of course, Bournemouth don't keep clean sheets either. He's not going to score a goal every week. So that's if you're looking at him, and that's a bit of a knee jerk. I think if you're going to get a Bournemouth defender, you just go Stephen Francis. Simon Francis. Sorry, start with S. Yeah, just cough up the point one to get him instead. Kolarov scored 9. You should already have him. Font, yep, I like Southampton defensive assets. Their fixtures are not good, but they're one of those teams that they started up pretty poorly, but statistically they were still good. They were still, like, you know, having 6 shots on target a game. They're still still conceding little shots on target. They're a good, you know, shots on target ratio team, and they were always going to come good, and they have pretty well come good. Their fixtures aren't too crash hot. But I was considering bringing in Cedric this week, either Cedric or Johnny Evans, but I didn't. I sort of fixed up some of my attackers, but I probably, hindsight's a great thing. I probably should have got in a West Brom or a Southampton defender. I think they're good. Both are good picks. Yep. I wouldn't get Font. I'd save the cash and get Cedric instead. Eric Dyer. So he's playing a bit out of position. He's playing in the defensive midfield role in the two players in the pivot. Would you consider him in? He's a pretty good differential, 2.8% ownership. No, I don't know. I'm not too fussed with Tottenham's defense. I don't know why. Statistically, how are they? Let's have a look. No, they're pretty bad. Let's look at that. Oh, they're probably in the middle. Yeah, they're pretty average. Nothing stands out. What are their fixtures like? Let's have a look. Where are you, Tottenham? Not real good. Crystal Palace at home, they'll concede. Man City at home, they'll concede. Swansea away, they'll concede. Liverpool at home, they'll probably concede. So nah, no way. Don't get Dyer. And then that's it. That's our defenders, the big hitters. So, no for Bellerin, no for Delatt, no for Cook, yes for Kolarov, no for Font, get Cedric instead, no for Dyer. Cool, there we go. Right, yes, let's move on to midfielders. So we've got Payet, Houlihan, Mahrez, Blind, and Mason. Payet, yeah, if you've got a spare trade, get him in. He's at that funny 7.6 price. I probably should have got him in this week. I brought in Pedro. I should have just saved the cash and brought in him instead, shouldn't I? I looked at him. He hadn't done anything for a while. West Ham had scored 6 goals and he had no involvement at all. And then he goes and scores a brace against Newcastle. He's not a shooting midfielder. He's a creative midfielder. So it's pretty ironic that he scores 2 goals. He only had 3 shots and he scored 2 goals. So, you know, whether that's lucky or not, you know, who knows. I think one of his goals, I didn't see the match, but I heard one of his goals was like a rebound off a Victor Moses shot, so maybe a bit lucky. Obviously, a fantastic player. So, would you get, if you're in a wild card, I'd probably get him in. I wouldn't do surgery to your team to get him in, but okay, Wes Houlihan, at 5 million, like, he's good value. I mean, we know he's not going to play every minute of every game, but, you know. Yeah, probably. I'd consider him as a fifth midfielder. You might rotate him with your third striker. I'm not sure. I think he's probably is better. If I had 0.5, I'd probably sort of get Redmond instead, because at least you know he's going to play every game. But in Houlihan's, he's a very talented player, and he's been getting returns. Like, he scored 13 game week 5. I think it was game week 2. He scored 10. So he's getting returns. He's got, in 5 games, he's got 4 assists and a goal. Like, that's pretty good from a 5.0 midfielder. Alright, next up, Mahrez. Yeah, you should already have him. Daily Blind. No, he's just a midfielder playing in defence, so no for him. Ryan Mason. No. There's not much I should have to talk about him. You should know why you shouldn't get him in. Okay, next up. Stephen Naismith. What a champ. Just comes on off the bench, scores 3 goals, just literally just destroys Chelsea. But yeah, it's still a no. He's just not nailed on. Cool. So he's from Everton. So he got 17 points from 3 goals. Next up, is it Odion Ighalo? Yep, I'd be considering him. 5.0 million striker. I would consider him as a third striker if you're going to play 3-5-2, and that seems to be the trend. You know, people, you know, are opting to play that formation instead of the traditional 3-4-3, which is understandable. I think, why not give it a crack? I won't be. It doesn't feel comfortable for me. But if you were going to go for that, then definitely get Ighalo, and you can bench him, and then benching 5, and if you have an auto emergency, and if he comes on, he might score a goal. So yeah, I'd consider him. Watford are playing good football as well. You know, they seem like a good team. Okay, so that's that. Let's move on to part 2. So let's look at the bandwagons. Let's look at the players that everyone is bringing in, and I'll sort of give my verdict as to whether you should potentially be considering bringing him in. So let's have a look. Just looking, that doesn't make any sense. Transfers in. This is on the FPL page. Oh, transfers in round. Here we go. Radio. So we'll look at the top 2 from keepers, top 4 defenders, top 4 midfielders, top 2 strikers. That's maybe top 3 strikers. Okay. David De Gea, 54,000 people have got him in. Should you bring him in? Well, probably not, because you'll already have a Man United defender, and I don't recommend doubling up on their defence. Hart from City, no, because, well, actually, double City defence would have, well, I mean, they've kept clean sheets every match, so if you've had double City defence for some of those games, then, you know, well done, you know, that's great stuff. But I wouldn't be bringing in Hart now, because you're probably either going to have Collar of a company, and I would recommend getting double City attack instead, because their fixtures are still really, really good. They are. They're still awesome. West Ham at home, Tottenham away, Newcastle at home, Bournemouth at home. You know, they've still got really good fixtures. So I'd probably recommend getting 2 City midfielders instead. Okay, so that leaves us to Boaz Myhill. Yep, I'd bring him in. People bringing him in. I'll consider bringing him in. Okay, so defenders, Kolarov. Yep, you should already have him. Okay, this is fun. I mean, it's not a funny one. It's a pretty sad one. So Luke Shaw has been brought in by 42,000 people. He is now injured, and he's going to be injured for a significant amount of time. It looks like he's broken his leg in 2 spots. So, you know, those 42,000 people that have brought him in will be a bit cranky, because they've just wasted the trade on an injured player. Okay, that moves on to Bakary Sagna. Same as Hart. You'll either, or if you have no Man City defence, yep, go for it. 5.1. He looks pretty nailed on for a while. At 5.1, he's the cheapest option. So yeah, for sure. If you did have the 0.6 handy and you don't have Kolarov already, I'd get him in instead, because he has the threat and the creativity as well. Alright, that moves on. That gives us Vincent Kompany. So it looks like he's injured now as well. He's a major, he's, according to the FPL page, he's 75% chance of playing. We still don't know the diagnosis on his injury yet. I think he must have, he limped off this morning with a hamstring injury, I believe, in the Champions League clash with Juventus. So, same as the other guys. If you don't have a City defender, I'll consider him, but I'll probably just get Kolarov instead, because he's heaps cheaper. And Hector Bellerin, I've already explained why I think you probably shouldn't get Arsenal defence in. Okay, so let's move on to the midfield. So there's some good options here. Mahrez, you should already have. Ross Barkley, just sit tight. I still don't trust Barkley, and I still don't trust Everton. Yeah, they just beat Chelsea 3-1, but everyone's beating Chelsea, you know. The junior team I coach could beat Chelsea at the moment. They're so easy to play against. But just sit tight with Barkley. Everton still have cranky fixtures. Wait till they sort of become a bit happier, and then I'll consider bringing him in. Yaya Toure, yeah, he's cheap. He's like 1.2 cheaper than Silva. Kevin De Bruyne. Apparently you pronounce his name De Bruyne. That's how you pronounce it, but I'll just say De Bruyne. That sounds pretty good. So he's there now. So we're not sort of sure. We're not sure how he's going to influence the attacking output for players like Silva and Torre. But yeah, I'd consider bringing him in. You know, we know what Torre's like. He scores goals when he feels like it. So 44,000 people have brought him in. 100,000 people have brought in Ross Barkley. So that's a definite knee jerk, I think, getting him in. All right, let's move on to Andre Ayew. How's Swansea's fixtures looking? They're looking not too bad. Everton at home, Southampton away, Tottenham at home, Stoke at home, Aston Villa away. So their fixtures are still, like, not too bad. Would I get Ayew in? Probably. I've got Gomez. I don't recommend getting Gomez and Ayew. I think that's just a bit too much. So if you don't have any Swansea attacking coverage, I'll consider bringing him in. Yep, for sure. Statistically, he's still really good. And I think he'll continue that. Yep, for sure. I'd consider bringing him in. He still looks good. So he's had 10 goal attempts over the 5 weeks. And how many goals he scored? He scored 2 goals. And of those 10 shots, how many have been inside the box? Predicting about 7. Oh yeah, I got it right, 7. Yeah, so definitely I'll consider bringing him in. For sure. So 42,000 bringing him in. And that leaves us with Mata. Should you bring Juan Mata in? I probably wouldn't be bringing in any Man United attacking coverage at this stage. They're not scoring freely. Yeah, they scored 3 goals against Liverpool, but Liverpool are pretty. They're woeful at the moment as well. They conceded 3 against West Ham, the same West Ham that concede, that couldn't beat Bournemouth. So we don't know. Their fixtures aren't too crash hot. They play Southampton away this week. I can see them not scoring. They play Sunderland at home, so that's a good fixture. Then they've got Arsenal away, Everton away, City at home. So those fixtures are pretty woeful. There's better options out there in terms of United attacking coverage, so no for Mata. Okay, so let's move on to forwards. Benteke, who do Liverpool play? Well, they play Norwich. Historically, they like to play Norwich. As much as I don't sort of like basing your team around, like, sort of anecdotal, historical coverage sort of thing. Benteke's not a bad option this week. 64,000, they brought him in. I think a lot of those people that have brought him in have brought him in on the back of the goal against United, which was a fantastic goal. So it's a tentative yes for me. I don't think, even in a Liverpool team that's trying their best for him not to score, he still scores now and then. So when Liverpool sort of decide to start playing and making an effort to let him score, then yeah, I would definitely consider Benteke. But until that happens, I wouldn't be bringing him in. I'd probably prefer to bring in someone like Coutinho. He's the creative and, the hub in the middle. So yeah, I'd probably consider Coutinho over Benteke. Right, and that leaves us with Wilson at 54,000. Statistically, this dude is not, he has not been very good. His shot volume is not great. He's just been really clinical. He's in my team because Bournemouth have good fixtures, and I wanted to bring Pedro in because he is very good, Pedro. So I brought in Wilson. I'm sort of starting to regret it because I got rid of Diouf from Stoke. So, yeah, so I've got him in. If you want to downgrade one of your strikers to him to give you some more cash to bring in someone else, then yeah, I'd probably consider it. Bournemouth's fixtures are still good. And if anyone's going to score, it's going to be him, I think. So yeah. And that leaves us with Gomez from Swansea. If you've got no Swansea attacking coverage, you should probably think about getting him in. But you should already have a Swansea, some Swansea attacking coverage in your team anyway. All right. So let's move on to part 3. So I'm going to look at highly owned players and whether you should do a defensive move to get that player in or not. So let's have a look. Highly owned players. So let's start with keepers. So Cech is your highest owned keeper. Nah, I wouldn't bother getting them in. I don't think Arsenal are going to keep clean sheets. Defenders, let's look at Kompany. He's owned by a whopping 37%. I mean, obviously, you're not going to bring him in because there's an injury cloud. Nathaniel Klein, no. I wouldn't be bringing in Liverpool. Actually, I probably would. Because they have the Norwich fixture this week. And then they have a nice... They've got Aston Villa at home, Everton away, Tottenham away. Yeah, maybe if you've got nothing else to do and you're really desperate to use one of your transfers, I wouldn't mind bringing in a Liverpool defender. And if you had the cash, I'd probably bring in Klein. He has a bit of creativity there as well. And I'm not sure if Joe Gomez is going to get dropped or not. I think he conceded that penalty against the one that Herrera scored, so we're not too sure there. Oh no, actually, I probably wouldn't get Klein. I'd probably try and get someone cheap. I'd probably get Skrtel. He has a bit more goal threat about him. Well, historically, he does. This season, he hasn't. I mean, if Nathaniel Klein's owned, you can sort of eliminate that by getting another Liverpool defender instead. But it'd be annoying if Klein got attacking returns and your Liverpool defender who has smaller ownership didn't. That would be annoying. Alright, next one's Kolarov. Yes, definitely get him in if you don't have him in already. He's very good. Joe Gomez, no, well, if we know he's nailed on, then yeah, I'd bring him in. And the next one's Damian from, what's his first name? The Italian, is he right back? I can't remember. Matteo Damian, whatever his name is. You'll probably already have some United defensive coverage. I probably wouldn't start bringing them in because their fixtures are getting cranky. But I'd probably say no because you'll already have some defensive coverage as well. He's a hold. I wouldn't be getting rid of United defenders because defensively they've looked good. They've been keeping clean sheets. They seem to be defending as a unit pretty well. Daley Blind and Chris Smalling are starting to look, pretty good. And statistically, they're pretty strong. They're not conceding many shots inside the box, and they are conceding like next to no big chances. So that's pretty good. They're on par with Swansea in terms of their defensive stats. Cool. So that's the defenders. Let's move on to midfielders. Mahrez, yep, you need him. Torre, no, you don't need him. There's other City options. His ownership has soared recently. Hazard, no, you shouldn't have him. He's highly owned and he's just not getting the stats. He's not racking up the stats like a player of that price should. Sanchez is, Aguero is, Hazard is not. He is creating chances. He has no threat at all. You need to get rid of him because his ownership's going to get low as well. He's going to go down in price as well. Andre Ayew, if you don't have Gomez, get him in. If you have Gomez, don't bother. Ross Barkley, no, don't get him in yet. All right, let's look at strikers. Benteke, I think I've spoken about him. He's a tentative yes. Aguero, if he's fit, yes. Gomez, if you don't have AU, yes. So there we go. There's the highly owned players that... that's my verdict on them. Okay, let's move on to top part four. So I'm just going to pick out some random differentials. Let's look at... who should we look at? Let's look at Aston Villa. Differentials from Villa. Scott Sinclair, 3.5% ownership. So differential, his stats are pretty good. I don't have him up. So, yep, I'd consider Sinclair. He looks... Did he even play last week? Let's have a look. He did. He got the 2 points. Yeah, I'd consider him 4.9 if you want that. If you're, as a fifth midfielder, he's a good option. If you've got the 0.5 hanging about to upgrade your Westwood or your Sermon, I'd consider Sinclair. What are their fixtures like? West Brom at home, they probably won't score. Liverpool away, but dodgy. Stoke at home, Chelsea away. So not real good. So Maybe not Scott Sinclair. All right, let's keep looking around. Another good differential. That's a good team. Let's look at Watford. There'll be good differentials in Watford. So we've got Hakechi Anya. No, he's all over the place. Igalo is 1.3. I'd consider him. He's a great differential. I've spoken about him. Definitely. Abdi looks... pretty sure it'd be the attacking three, Abdi and Jurado and Naldon. And they're super differential, so I'd probably consider them. Let's have a look at Newcastle, because their fixtures are going to turn around soon. And I'm thinking they might perform a little better. So in game week 9, their fixtures are like the sweetest thing I've ever seen. So let's look at their differentials. We've got Wijnaldum at 2.7. Yep, good differential. Who else like that? Is it Tauvin, the new dude? He's at 0.2% ownership. I'd probably consider him. We've got Cisse, low ownership. Mitrovic, low ownership. So there's a whole vast array of differentials in Newcastle to consider when their fixtures turn around. Okay, so let's look at who's going to keep clean sheets this week. Chelsea and Arsenal, I think they'll both concede. Villa and West Brom, I think West Brom will keep a clean sheet there. Bournemouth to Sunderland, no clean sheets there. Newcastle, Watford. An interesting one. Newcastle, statistically, are terrible. Their shot numbers are terrible. That's because they've had, the worst fixtures ever. I want to say Newcastle clean sheet against Watford. I think they'll keep a clean sheet. Stoke, Leicester, no clean sheets there. Swansea, Everton, no clean sheets there. City, West Ham. So West Ham have this really, strange, complex way of getting results. They're losing against gammon teams at home, but they're beating, top six teams away. So they're playing Man City away. They won't win. And I don't think they'll score. So I'm going to say Man City clean sheet there. Spurs, Palace, no clean sheets. Liverpool, Norwich. I think Liverpool will keep a clean sheet there. Southampton, United. I think Southampton will keep a clean sheet there. So there you go. Cool, let's move on. On to part 5. So who's going to score this week and no one has them? I think I covered that before. I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say... Wijnaldum. I reckon Wijnaldum from Newcastle. I think he's a good pick. I think he'll score well this week against Watford. So there you go. All right, that wraps up the pod for today. Thanks for listening, guys. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Right here, see you next time.